Whether you're a homeschooler, you're a high schooler, or an elementary or a middle schooler, we're going back to school. And it's an excellent time for parents to evaluate themselves, their homes, relationships, and for children and young people to get ready and not walk into the venue of a public school situation and be impacted, but rather walk in and be an impact. To not walk in and be changed and covered up by the influences there, but rather walk in and from the first day when they asked Nehemiah to come down off the wall, Nehemiah said, "Why should such a man as I come down to you?" He walked into the work of God knowing who he was and what his job was, and he didn't want to get involved with all the nonsense of the world around him. When they questioned Ezra about who he was and what he was doing, he said, "We are the people of the Most High God, and we build up that building that was built so long ago." Praise God. He knew who he was. And when the world wanted to challenge his credentials, he said, "You need to hear this. We are the people of God." Young person, new life child, when you walk into that school, you need to walk in and say, "I am a child of God. I've come not to be affected by this world, but I've come to affect my world. I've come not to be changed by them, but I've come to see how many of them I can change. I've come not to serve their gods, but I've come to bring my God to this place." I mean, my God, you need to walk in that place and declare yourself from the first day when you walk across the threshold. I don't care if you're at UAB or Jeff State or wherever you are. You need to walk across the threshold and say, "I claim this place and all who are in it for the kingdom of God and for the name of Jesus." This is a day. Come on, don't you see what's happening? The Middle East is torn up. Israel is in the land. Lebanon is on fire. Can't you hear the sound of the prophecy coming down? We don't have a lot of time. I don't know how much we have, but it's way too late to be casual or incognito. It's way too late to be soft-spoken about this. Somebody needs to walk into that hellhole of a school and say, "I'm claiming this place for the kingdom of God. I'm claiming this place for the kingdom of God." Let's clap our hands unto him. Praise God. Praise God. And that wouldn't be a bad idea for mom and dad if they go into a job tomorrow. Praise God. But don't let me digress here. Let's focus on the kids a little bit. So it's time, it's a good time to make an evaluation and say, are we doing everything we can do to help this kid get through this and live for God? Whether you're a homeschooler or a public schooler, it doesn't matter. Christian schooler, everybody needs God. Praise God. You say, "Well, it's just my brother and my sister and me that go to this school." Well, step in that school and say, "I claim this house for the name of Jesus and the word of God." And pray for your teachers. Praise God. But it's a good time to evaluate. Because let me just talk to you a little bit. If you allow, and I had thought tonight, I gave a lot of thought to this Wednesday night, and in prayer I was at a place where I was thinking, maybe we need to stop and maybe we need to run down the list of everything we do and what we don't do tonight. There's not time for that, but likewise it's a difficult thing when we have visitors and brand new people in the house to go down the whole list, because they don't understand. They don't know why we do and why we live like we live. Praise God. But I guess the challenge for you tonight would be to evaluate your life and your home and say, am I doing what this church teaches? Because I'm bringing my young person here. I'm bringing my child here. And if I come and I live below the standard of the church by choice, and I do that in front of my children, I preach a stronger sermon to them than this pulpit can ever preach. I'm going to tell you this, and I've spoken it from this pulpit many times, but I'll tell you, I have never elevated a child above the level of their home or their family if their mom and dad were apostolic of some sort. Now, mom and dad are sinners out in the world. Sky's the limit with the kid. You can go anywhere that kid wants to go and will believe God for. But as far as a Pentecostal mom and dad, if they're living in compromise and they're allowing it in the home and they're telling the child, well, this is just something cute we do, or this is just something we do, or we don't really agree in this. Well, we'll wear this when we go to church, but we'll wear something else when we're down at Walmart or down at the mall or whatever. You need to hear what you're preaching. You're telling them that this is optional, that this doesn't matter, and it's going to come back and bite you in regard to your own authority. And there's going to be a day when you're weeping tears over the soul of that child, and you want the church to be on board with you, but you've already undermined your own authority by undermining the authority of the pulpit. I'm just giving you a back to school warm up here. Praise God. So it's a good time for evaluation and a good time to say, am I living this? Come on, from where you are right now, it's just a little step to get the house in order. Praise God. The Bible said Noah pitched it within and without. There's some things you need to pitch in and some things you need to pitch out. I took poetic liberty with that verse, but and this is a good time to do it. And you need to gather those kids around and let them know this is not an ordinary season. This is a season of fulfilled prophecy. And this is not just something we do at church, but let's get together here at the home, at the house. And as they're making their way out, or as you prepare for this new year, huddle down with one another and talk about the fact we're going to make a difference for our God this year. We're going to make a difference in our school. We're going to step up and be what the Word of God has called us to be. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise God. If that's your heartbeat tonight and that's what you want to do, I want you to lift up your hands right now. And we're going to have formal prayer here for these children in just a minute. But I want you to, as an individual, lift up your heart, your life before the Lord right now. God, show me, shine the light of heaven on my heart, oh God. And show me, mighty God, everything about my life that's not pleasing to you. Everything I need to be, everything I need to change, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Punctuate that prayer. Let that Holy Ghost pray through you just for a little bit here. We're not in a hurry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love the Holy Ghost that I feel in the house tonight. The Word of God said it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Most of us, it won't be a cataclysmic encounter with hell that causes us to turn around. It won't be some major defiant spirit that rises up, because they're so easy to see and so easy to get charged up about. But it's the little things. As you begin to just back off by degrees, or make determinations that these things just don't matter, gradualism is setting into your life. And the thing is, you don't know where that will take you. The question always when you make a decision about your consecration or the holiness of your standard at home or your response to the pulpit, the question is, what next? And then what? Where will this take me? Where will this decision take me? Our city is covered up with people. The churches used to be holiness churches. I came by a Methodist church today, and on their marquee, Sunday's message is going to be, or Wednesday night message is going to be, the battle for holiness. And I thought this has got to be a historical review because they lost the battle a long time ago. And I don't know what they're going to do with that, but ironically, they used to be a holiness people. But they're not anymore. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually. It happened like Peter warming himself by the fire. He just saw a crowd of people and some warmth and drew into that. But before that encounter was over, his hands might have been warm, but his heart was cold. He cursed and denied that he ever knew God. And it started when he drew near to the fire of those that stood outside. He should have been somewhere else. He made a wrong decision. He drew close to the wrong fire. Dustin, can you get us, or Andrew, can you get us Psalms 1:1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. Anybody have a desire to be like that man and that tree planted by the rivers of water? His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We don't want to warm by their fire. We don't want to walk with them. We don't want to stand with, nor do we want to sit with them. Not in the way of their influencing us, but we want to take the high ground and make a proclamation for God. It's a brand new school year, and we need to think about integrity, and we need to think about, as adults, making sure we do this right. You know, when you, before you had kids, I'm hearing the different discussion now with my kids. Got two babies on the way. They're already renovating their lives, and they hadn't been living bad. But they're talking tighten up talk. We won't be able to do that anymore, say that anymore, act like that anymore. Why? Because we got kids on the way. It's like, but it makes a difference when you got little folks following you. It's a terrifying thing when you're parading along and you turn around and you see some little boy or girl trying to walk in your footsteps, and you're taking too big a step and they're having a problem. But that is a profound and a terrifying symbolism. Because they're coming along right behind you. Scary, Brother Mike. Scary business. But I got to do this right. So I can't cut corners. And I can't say, look, anywhere we draw, you know, holiness is twofold. Holiness is objective. Thou shalt not kill. That's easy. Everybody understands that. Don't commit adultery. That's easy. Nobody has any question about that. But modesty, or a blanket statement, be holy for I am holy, that gets into a lot of subjective areas. But the good thing for us is that God gave us a Moses in our life. And when God told them, don't touch the mountain, Moses said, here's where the mountain starts. And that represents the subjective part of pastoral discretion. The easy thing for you is to always see where the subjective line is drawn. Whatever's on either side looks a whole lot the same. When we're dealing with there's no such thing as a little bit of adultery. You can rationalize anything, but there's no such thing as that. But when you draw a subjective line about modesty or lifestyle or dress or where we go or where we don't go or what you allow in your home in the way of a movie or a video or something like that, the decisions you make regarding that, here's a winning attitude about that. If this is the line, always fall to the good side of the line. If you have a question about it, don't do it. If you have a question about it, always fall on the side, err toward conservatism. Because it'll always serve you well. Can somebody say praise the Lord? All right. I want all of our school-age kids, teenagers, and those that are awake, and teenagers, and if you're going into Jeff State or UAB or you're going to college, I want you to come up. It's a brand new year, brand new semester. I want you to just come all up along the front here. Praise God. Now, I need somebody that believes the Word of God and believes in the message of truth and holiness and righteousness. I need you to come, and I need you to lay hands on these children and pray for them. We want to pray for them that they'll be dynamic and powerful and apostolic in everything that they do. You know what? There's more of them than there are of us. You're going to have to palm a couple of heads here. Praise God. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Let's pray for these children. Keep them. Prosper them. Nurture them. Cause them to be an apostolic witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, open the door for a witness. Mighty God, give them favor with their teachers. Lord God, give them wisdom and understanding. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. Keep them strong, oh God. Mighty God, bless them as they witness to their friends. Lord God, help them to love holiness and love the house of God. Mighty God, bless them and prosper them. Cause them to be a witness for the name of Jesus and the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, pray in faith, talk in tongues, invoke the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. What you loose on the earth is loosed in the heavens. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus on these children. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, let's give God praise. Let's give Him thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel an awesome anointing in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, got any kids that are going to make a difference in their school? That's right. Now, Brother John, you're going to be running on a short clock tonight. So, the Kings are on their way into town, and the flyers are in the foyer, and you just need to get some and give one to everybody that you have business with and just say, this is going to be an awesome family seminar and this book will bless your life and If we have visitors come and they can't afford a book, we'll get them a book. But main thing we want to do is get them in the house. Praise. Prayer, if you would, for these that are meeting for that Bible study at Smoothie Joe's over off of Chalkville Road. And maybe Smoothie Joe will get the Holy Ghost. I know his name is JT, I guess. Well, those are his initials, but I've always called him Joe because the name on the building is Joe. But whoever he is, maybe he'll get filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you are in the growth class, you want to have made your way over to the other building. If you're new to New Life or emerging in the teen group, make your way over. Brother John has already gone to make a way before you. Praise God. We're in the 86th Psalm. Let's start in verse 5. And would you say, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you're glad for his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Forever settled in the present, in the heavens, let's give him praise, high praise. Hallelujah. Glad for your word tonight, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise your mighty God. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, we've got two babies already and more on the way. Sister Renee is next in line, and I want to pray for them that they be delivered. But not too soon, because they want that Benjamin to stay in Mama's womb for a little bit longer. But that's pretty exciting stuff. You ready for all this, Brother Josh? You ready, huh? Serious business. Serious, serious business. Praise God. How exciting. And then just more and more. So we're going to have a nursery full of bad diapers here in just a little bit. But I'm convinced any man worth his salt can face a bad diaper. Didn't get a lot of raucous amens there from you fellas, but we've been talking about David's attitude in Psalms 86, and David's attitude is an overcoming attitude or a winning attitude, and we've talked about the fact that he knows, despite his great accomplishments, that he needs God, and that keeps you right and close to God. He also knows that God's process works and that he is holy. Everybody say, "I am holy." In verse 2, he said, "For I am holy." And that's not some sort of a personal aggrandizement. That's David understanding the process of God. You never need to take the tuckhead or be embarrassed about what God has said concerning you. You need to step up and by your mouth proclaim what the word of God has already said. David in verse 3 said, "I cry daily." I'm calling unto God daily. I need God, and this is the evidence of my need. I'm calling unto God. And then we looked Sunday at the fact that David went to God for his joy, but he didn't expect God to do it unilaterally. Rather, God, he said, "I'm going to lift up my soul unto you. And as I lift up my soul unto you, then you rejoice me, O God." And so you work the process, and the process worked. But you have to do that self-talk. You can't sit in a puddle of depression and expect God to be able to help you and bless you. You've got to get up and appropriate this thing unto yourself. You've got to get up and utilize, get in the vehicle and go. Get on board and cast off and go sailing with God. You've got to do something in order for the plan of God to be effective in your life. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." And then, thank you, Dawson. And then down in the next passage, we looked Sunday night at the fact of joy. Everybody say joy. Now, how many of you have been walking the last couple of days in joy? Or you just have a lot of... Now, I know Brother George has joy, because if you see George in church anytime, he's got a big smile on his face. But it's not just that. If you see him driving down the road all by himself, nobody else in the car, he's got a smile on his face. It looks like he knows a secret, or he's just gotten good news. But he's always smiling, and I'm amazed that nobody's tagged him with that, and that you've long since forgot to call him George, and that you called him Smiley. But now I'm not trying to lay anything on you here, but it looks like joy anyway. I mean, it helps. Turn to your neighbor and smile. Give him some teeth there and show him your smile. And you know, you really need to do that when you're out in public or when you're in the house of God. We need to walk in the joy God's made available to us, because it is the mechanism by which we draw forth from the wells of salvation. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So we're making our way through here, and we're looking at these qualities in David's mindset or David's attitude. And these are not things that are just necessarily born into you, but you always have a choice about attitude. You can have any kind of attitude you want. Right now, you can have any kind of attitude you want. If you're sitting here and you're still mad about what happened during the day, you can lay that down in a heartbeat and say, oh, well, I'm going to do something else now. And don't tell me you can't, because I know that you can. If you hold on to the offense or the anger, it's because you want to. You're not tired of chewing on it yet. You want to milk it a little bit more. You want to enjoy it. And especially among men, men like to be angry because it makes them feel powerful. It doesn't make you powerful. It makes you stupid, but it makes you feel powerful. You feel like you just do anything. I mean, some men get angry and wade up in the middle of a bunch of state troopers, and they don't know till the sticks start flying that it doesn't make you powerful. It just makes you stupid, you know? But let go of the anger by choice and take on an attitude that is compliant with the word of God, because attitude is a choice. You can't change your circumstance, but you can change your attitude. You can't change what people are doing around you, but you can change your attitude. And here's the beauty of it is, as you change your attitude and as you strengthen that inner circle, then you have greater power to change the circumstances. And you have greater power to change those people that are around you, because you have greater influence. Praise God. And David has all this, and it comes to us vis-a-vis this 86th Psalm. Now, we're going to plow a little new territory tonight, and we're not going to go long because some of you are afraid already. I'm just getting started, and it's time to stop. And don't be afraid. I'm your friend. I know you have work, and I know you have school tomorrow. And so I'm your friend. I'm not going to keep you here a long time. Psalms 86 and verse 5, everybody say, you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon you. Implicit is, if you don't call on him, he can't help you. He can't do you any good. And so David's got a mindset that he says, I know God wants to do me good. I know that God is on my side. I know God is for me. And the word of God said, if God is with us or for us, then who can stand against us? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, God is on my side. Tell your neighbor, I know God wants to do me good. Don't you know that right now in the heavenlies, there's a plan to do you good? Don't you know right now there are angelic messengers that are sent with a word to do you? I'm just telling you, not because you're great, not because you're mighty, but because God loves to do good to his people. Part of a winning attitude is the knowledge that God is on my side and God is ready to do me good. Do you know all the blessings and the empowerments and the blessings and the goodness of God? All of that was prepared before the foundation of the earth. Before God ever sent a man into the garden or God ever initiated the process of redemption in the lives of people, God already prepared everything that you would ever have need of in your individual experience on the Thursday that's about to crank up tomorrow. In just a few hours, you're going to step out into a new day. But provision has already been made. The storehouse is already there. And in the inventory of God, on this date, in this week, on this Thursday, the provision of God is already there. The blessing of God, the help of God, the strength of God. And the beauty of it is that God wants to pour that out. God is on your side. Now, what's the devil say when he comes? God's not going to do you any good. God's mad at you. You're a lousy sinner. You've disappointed God, and God's got the cold shoulder toward you. God can't hear you. You're full of sin. God can't reach you. You're too pathetic. He wants to do anything he can to undermine an attitude in your experience that says God is on my side. You see, David's got that. David's got that. And while all of Israel is hiding, David's ready to run out in the place of battle because he knows God is on his side. He doesn't hesitate to lay hands on the lion or lay hands on a bear. He doesn't hesitate to stand up and take the anointing of God because he knows God is on his side. You got to get this. Your humanity is like Adam. It still wants to hide along the way outside the garden because of past sins. You want to shirk. If there's a blessing in the house, you think it belongs to somebody else. If there's goodness in the house, you think it won't come to your life. You just kind of anticipate something negative coming to your life. But David didn't believe that. He said, I know God is wanting to do me good. He's full of mercy, and he'll help all those that call upon him. Everybody say, he's ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. God wants to do us good. Praise God. That should not be a great revelation, but it is. That should not be something rare to find in the attitude of people, but it is, because that fallen nature always looks to the negative first. People don't rejoice in the positive. They rejoice in the negative. That's why newspapers, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's disaster, it sells, because people have a penchant for negativism and negative things. But the word of God is a positive message about a positive God that has a positive outcome in mind for you. He wants to redeem the fallen. He wants to lift up the poor and the humble. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to make a way for those that are bound up. He wants to set you free if you're locked up in a prison house of sin. He wants to put your marriage back together. He wants your children to be full of good things and healthy and strong. He wants you to have good success in everything that you do. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. God's on your... You know God's got a greater vision for your life than you have? No, you didn't hear that at all. I said God has a greater vision for your life than you have. Don't think you're going to overcharge the bank account of God or the visionary experience of God because you step up and say, I believe I can be better. I believe I can reach further. I believe I can be great in the kingdom of God. You're not going to even begin to tap the resources of the kingdom of heaven. He's got more than what you need, and he is ready to pour it out in your life. Anointings and blessings and wisdom and understanding and every answer you need for every question that life's going to throw at you. Praise God. Has anybody found him to be this kind of God? Has anybody ever had him just meet you in the morning when your foot hit the deck? You weren't even looking for him, and he's already touching you and beginning to talk to you. Have you ever had him just come by on the job and lay his hand on you or move and wake you up in the middle of the night and say, could we talk? Have you ever, don't you realize who that is? He's holding the universe together, but he's got some time for you, and he's got a purpose for you and a desire to draw close to you. Oh, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Somebody needs to tell the devil, shut up, take a hike, get behind me, get out of my face, get out of my life. I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that's on my side. And he'll come while you're in the pit, and he'll trouble you, and he'll come when you're in the prison, and he'll trouble you, and he'll come when your life's upside down, and he'll trouble you. But you need to get a hold of this, like Job and like Joseph before you. You need to be able to stand in the middle of the trouble and say, but yet I know that God is on my side. This pit does not define me. I got a God that loves me. This prison does not define me. I've got a God that loves me. This betrayal does not define me. I've got a God that loves me. And before it's over, he's going to turn this thing upside down. Turn to somebody and give them that index finger and say, I know that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. Listen to me. You better understand that every part of that recipe may not be tasty. Every part of that thing. My kids still talk. Brother Ronnie did an object lesson in Sunday school years ago, and I thought that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You take the things that it takes to make that box of cookies. Oh, Sister Shirley and Sister Sarah and some others of you, y'all make those killer cookies. It's got everything in there. I mean, they're just, those things will talk to you. I don't eat cookies, but those cookies are like, come into the kitchen. But you know, I know why they're so good, because they probably have a whole tablespoon of Crisco in each one of those cookies. Not quite that much, just a teaspoon, but a lot of Crisco in each cookie. That's eating death. It is. It's happy, but it's eating death. I'm happy to be eating death. My arteries start quivering just walking by the plate. My heart begins to scream within me, no. But you know, if I brought out a can tonight, and if, you know, if I'd have thought, if I had prepared the object lesson, I'd try to get Brother Cedric to eat a teaspoon of Crisco. I couldn't give you $5 to eat a teaspoon of Crisco. I know there would be a price point there where some. I could raise it and get you, but you wouldn't want to, because, and it's not something you get up in the middle of the night and go in the kitchen and think, I know what I want. I want a teaspoon of Crisco. I mean, I understand there's a lot of little kids that'll raid the refrigerator and get a stick of butter and just eat pure butter. But I can kind of understand that. But I've never met a kid that just dug in the Crisco can. But in every one of those wonderful, powerful, awesome cookies is a teaspoon of Crisco. But you got to get all things mixed together before it's good. So today there might be things happening that are kind of like a teaspoon of Crisco. You wouldn't have chosen it. You wouldn't really want it. But if you'll wait, God will add to that situation and to your life all of the things that are necessary. And before it's over, all things work together for good. Praise God. Because God is on my side. Praise God. I'm condensing just as hard as I can here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Does anybody really believe that? Do you really believe that God is on your side? Or are you just hoping that God's on your side? Boy, I hope he loves me. I sure hope I'm saved. You don't want to walk through this like that. I sure hope I don't go to hell. Well, that'd be really bad. That's a lame brain approach to life and God. You need to know, and you need to get a winning attitude about this, and it's not just pie in the sky or just some abstract thing that you associated with yourself, but this is the verbatim word of God. God is on your side. God was on your side before you ever knew him, before you were born. Praise God. Paul said a fellow would hardly die for a righteous man, but God proves his love to us. Because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. John would say, this is how we know the love of God. That God laid down his life for us. He died before you ever breathed your first breath or sinned your first sin. He made provision for you. He shed blood for your sin. Before you ever existed, you were in the mind of God. And he said with the prophet's voice, he said, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Praise God. God is on your side. God is on our side. He was on our side before we ever were. How much more now, Paul said, that we've come and we're trying to struggle along and live for God. If he loved us while we were sinners, why does the devil come to you and say, oh, you're condemned, oh, you're bad, oh, you? Why does the devil say that with any effect when Paul is telling you, listen to me, if he loved you while you were a sinner, how much more does he love you now that you've come on and taken his name and been filled with his spirit? I know you're not perfect. mistakes, but you're covered by the blood. I know you got hang-ups, but God's your father. I know you haven't always done it right, but God put his name on you, and it's not about your strength. It's about his glory. Praise God. Well, praise God. God's on my side. Say it. Praise God. Psalms 27 and 13. Brother Andrew. I'm not going to finish, but I'm going to stop. Everybody say, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, this is at the tail end of that chapter where he said, though a host encamped against me, he said, I'm not going to be afraid. When my enemies gathered against me, they stumbled and they fell. He makes all these dynamic proclamations and his strength and his faith in God. And he talks about all that he believes about the power of God. And then he says, but if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I would have fainted. He said, what's kept me afloat is I've just believed that God is on my side. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind fixed on Jesus. Why? Because I know he's on my side. I know he's my friend. I know he's looking out for me. I know that he cares about me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anybody in the house believe that you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? God's doing something good right now. I mean, God's doing something good for you right now. I'm hurrying. Philippians 4, 19. Point while they're getting there. Point at your neighbor and say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Praise God. David, Paul said, I've got a God, you've got a need. He said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Praise God. Paul is observant of the fact that his brothers or his friends have a need. And he's not worried about it because he knows that what God does for my brother doesn't diminish the quantity of the potential or the blessing in the kingdom of God. He knows that it's not a zero sums equation. God, when you begin to deal with God, there's enough to go around to everybody. There's enough for everybody. So not only do I know God wants to do me good, I know God wants to do my brother good. And it's not a competitive thing where if I get it, you can't, or if you get it, I can't. So I come to the house of God with some kind of a competitive idea about my brother. I come in thinking, man, you know what? If God works according to the mechanics of physics and everything, then if he pours a blessing out on you, that's one blessing. He pours a blessing out on me, that might be another one. And if we added them together, we only have two. But when he begins to pour out upon unity or people joined together, he always does it in an exponential way. There's going to be more. It's not a zero sums game. Well, praise God. Praise God. It's like in relationships, like these people that are having these little babies, they don't have any more. But Renee, you're going to love this little boy with all of your heart. I mean, it's just going to be an amazing thing that happens in your life. And then when baby number two comes and baby number three comes and baby number four and five, you know, when number eight comes along, you're going to feel like... You're going to wonder, how will I ever love this next baby? Usually that only happens on number two. Because after number two comes, you figure it out. That it's not that there's a zero-sum pool of love and you divide it up among people. But rather, as you get another person to love, the love gets bigger. The love expands in your heart and in God's heart and in God's kingdom. So it's not like you get less. It's like we all get more. When mercy gets uncorked and somebody's giving mercy, there's greater mercy in the house. And when others get, I mean, the more people we see getting mercy poured out, the more mercy there is, the more love there is. The thing just, it's like the loaves and the fishes. When you got it all to yourself, and you're hoarding it all, you got stinking fish and a couple of pieces of bread. But when you put it in the hands of God, all of a sudden, out of a very limited little pool of resource, God begins to feed everybody. And in the kingdom of God, it's not zero sums. It's not just a little sliver for everybody. He didn't give everybody in that crowd of 5,000 some little microscopic little crumb. Here, oh, this is your lunch, and this is your lunch. Where is it? This is yours. But he gave them all they could eat, and when they had eaten all they could, there were baskets left out on the grass. How does God do that? That is the nature of God. He won't throw a party and be chintzy with what he pours out on you. God, when God throws a party, it's like the wedding at Cana. He made a jug for everybody in town. He made gallons and gallons for everybody. When he fed the multitude, he made more than enough for everybody. That's the mentality and the attitude of our God. Let's give him a hand praise and bless his name. Come on, lift up your voice. Would you tell him, God, I'm glad you're like that. I'm glad you want to pour out blessings on me. I'm glad, Lord God, for the mercy. I'm glad for your love. Come on. Praise God. I'm glad that God's on my side. Praise God. Well, I'm going to quit. Come on down around the altar. The quicker you get here, the quicker we do. We're done. Is that a Freudian slip? The quicker we're due? Did you hear that? No. Andrew, Romans 8, 37. Praise God. I feel an irrational excitement in the house tonight. I don't know why. I don't have any particular reason. I just feel really, really excited about what God is doing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sunday morning, we're going to be celebrating Sister Thomasine Wallace. She's graduating from Virginia College. Praise God. Now tell me it's too late to chase your dreams. Praise God. Romans 8, 37. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Turn to somebody, look them dead in the eyeballs and say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Tell your neighbor you're looking at in the eyeballs. Tell him God is on our side. Come on, tell him God means to do us good. Praise God. Tell somebody right now, God is doing something for you right now. My God, I'm expecting a blessing. I'm expecting a mercy. I'm expecting a touch of God. I'm expecting a Holy Ghost outpouring. What are you expecting? You expecting more trouble? Well, that's your choice. But if you'll begin to work with God's program, there's something good out there. Come on. Lay your hand on your brother or your sister right now. And I want you to pray for somebody around you. God's blessing and goodness, mercy and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, lay your hand on this house and all that are in it, this church family, every life, every house, every business, every work, every ministry, oh God. Pour out, oh God, of your blessing. Give them wisdom and understanding and skill and craftsmanship, oh God. Lord God, be a waymaker for them, provider for them. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a little bit of high praise. And we'll go to the house. High praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Remember, flyers in the foyer for Brother and Sister King for this weekend, 7 o'clock Friday night, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and they'll be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night for revival, and then Brother Larry Booker for the following Saturday and Sunday, going to have a time of revival. God bless you.